For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, Utah fans, welcome to another special edition of the Utah Football Fans Podcast. We have an awesome guest with us, and we will get to introducing him in just a minute, but we do want to thank our sponsor, Thomas Orthodontics. And just a reminder, if you contact him before August, you can get $500 off your treatment. So thomasortho.com. And if you mention the podcast, you get entered to win a $200 gift card to the Red Zone. So what are you waiting for? Just do it. Just thomasortho.com. Get in touch with him. All right. So on tonight's episode, we get to talk to Hank Mondaca. Awesome Utah fan. We met Hank when he invited us to his Rose Bowl tailgate back in January. And Hank, you probably had the best setup of anybody there. I'm just going to say that right now.
Well, thank you very much. I thank you guys for having me on. I appreciate it. Getting a platform to talk about our cause is always a wonderful thing. So thanks before anything. Growing up here in Southern California, they've always known how to tailgate. And when I went up there to play, four Chevys backed up to a chain link fence was Utah's idea of tailgating. And that is no lie.
That's true.
So we have some experience. We always have a get together here at USC or UCLA, whatever game is here at home. I'm from California, Long Beach area. So it's always great to invite the old guys and come on out and see them again.
Fortunately, the game didn't go the way we wanted it to, but hey, the tailgate was awesome. So at least that there was that part of the day. Well, Hank, we just want to know, you mentioned you played football here at the U. So I want to know kind of your background, what years those were. Just give us your history.
I was there Coach Stobart's first year, 1982, the first year that they redid the south end zone and put new turf down. That was my home, and played 3 years for Coach Stobart, 1 year with Coach Fossil. His first year was my senior year. So those were some pretty lean days as far as 6-5 record, 5-6, 6-5. Fossil's first year, we were 8-3, so we were kind of excited about that year. We had a chance to go to a bowl game, but back then they picked bowls based on who you can bring, and it was all about the dollar. So we were looked over pretty regularly. But it was a great experience coming from California. I had a great experience there. I was a 4-year starter. My freshman year, I broke my leg in Hawaii punting, believe it or not. So that happened in the fifth game. So I couldn't redshirt. Shoot, now guys are getting 6-7 years and I'm a little jealous.
Well, these youngins over here, they don't remember the 80s and early 80s, but I do. I was to all those games. I remember the Stobart. I remember the Stobart years. It's like you were middle of the pack in the WAC. So you were 82 to 85?
Yes.
82 to 85. So, man, I was just kind of trying to refresh my memory. I think the first year that you were there would have been Carl Monroe was the running back. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And I think that was his senior year, which I think he led the WAC in rushing and ended up in the NFL. I have a great story about Carl Monroe. So my wife to be was living in an apartment complex on Foothill. And this was, I think, probably the 1980-ish, probably 1980. But in the same complex was Carl Monroe, Jeff Griffin, who ended up in the NFL.
Who's yes.
Deep defensive back. And some other guys, I can't remember who they were, but they had a party going on. So we went over into their into their place, and you can imagine it was, you know, football players having a good time.
It was a little Griffin, lively.
Take us, and this is,
A little lively.
It was lively. We go in, but Griffin takes us into, I don't know why, but he says, I want to show you my bedroom. And then there's this red light. That's all he had in the middle of his bedroom. And I said, okay, I'm getting out of here. And I told my wife, said, okay, obviously you're never going to be coming back to these guys' apartment again. But he was cool. But I remember Carl, but do you remember him? Did you know him?
Absolutely.
Saw Monroe, and then you had some great running backs while you were there. I think there was Eddie Johnson.
He was Eddie very Lewis. Dynamic. Right. We had Mark Stevens as quarterback.
He ended up in the NFL.
We had Larry Egger was Fossil's first year, the throwing left-hander.
That's right. And there's I remember we had some good tight ends, and I think a couple ended up in the NFL as well.
Andy Parker.
That's right. Okay.
And then we had an H-back, Craig McEwen.
That's right.
With the Redskins. I'll mention a couple of names a little bit later, Gary. I'm sure you'll recognize them.
And Errol Tucker.
That's one of them.
I can still remember. He was fantastic.
He was the early Covey. Every time he went back, everybody stood up because something dynamic was going to happen.
It was fun. It was fun to watch. I mean, man, it goes back a ways, but that was fun. But I remember sitting there in the stadium. I think we still had a bunch of benches then. I was sitting in the east side. Were you on AstroTurf? Was that the AstroTurf days?
That was the first year they had switched to the new AstroTurf.
That stuff, do you guys know it, James, Bryn?
Oh, yeah. I remember going over to the practice facility when I was little, and because it was outdoors and there was no – you could run around. And it was like running – I mean, it was short. You'd fall. It would destroy you. It was like – I mean, it was concrete with a little bit of bristles on top. It was horrible. I don't know how they played football on it. It's nothing like what they have today.
No. You know, the thing about that turf is if you fell, you were scratched.
Yeah.
It just depends on how big and how bad, how deep. But that injury stuck with you the whole year because you'd fall out on it again.
It's a scratch your skin off.
Yeah, it was horrible.
I'm curious. I'm just going to jump in. You mentioned how did you break your leg? I'm curious how a punter does that. Are we gonna blame AstroTurf, or how did that go down here?
You know, I've never looked at it that way, but it's not a bad idea.
Let's do it. Just blame the AstroTurf, man.
I was back there. I got the snap, and I went to kick, and I did kick with my kicking leg, and while it was up in the air, this guy from Hawaii, my shin kicked his shin. And both of my bones broke. Yeah, it was one of those.
Ouch.
That's okay. Yeah, I knew right away.
It was AstroTurf. I'd add that in there somehow.
Yeah. I slipped on the AstroTurf and I kicked him. I broke my leg. I broke his leg. Though. Yeah, you got to add, you know, some drama to it. He didn't get up. I walked off the field, you know.
Taped it up, came back.
Now, there's evidence I was on a stretcher on the way out.
I can't lie
about that.
So
those are the good old days.
Yeah, that's true.
They've since closed that stadium.
It's what?
They've since closed Aloha Stadium.
I looked at some of the schedule back when you played, and you went to Tennessee. Do you remember going to Tennessee and Texas, as I recall?
Absolutely.
How was that then?
A little bit of trivia. My first kick of my collegiate career was 9 yards deep in Austin Stadium in Texas.
Really?
It was the third game. The first punter they started was a JUCO guy, and he didn't pan out so well the first couple games, so I got my shot. And I'll never forget it. You know, you grow up watching Oklahoma, Texas, and watching those rivalry games, and it was a phenomenal trip. Tennessee, was, I think there were 102,000 fans there. They sell out every game.
It's amazing.
And it was so loud that when they did the wave, when the wave was on the other side of the stadium, you couldn't talk to anybody next to you. They couldn't hear you. Then when it got around to becoming in back of you, it hurt. You had to cover your ears. I've never sensed anything like that before. It was wild.
You were in the game, though. As I remember, I think the score was pretty close.
Yes. Yeah, we tried an onside kick with about a minute 26 to go.
Okay. Yeah. I did see where Arizona came in to this. Well, maybe, did they play you at the stadium here? Were you in Arizona? I think they were ranked at the time.
Right.
Pretty well handled.
Arizona.
Okay. What was it like playing the Pac-10 teams? I mean, as far as
Pac-8 back then, wasn't it? It would have been the Pac-8. It was before the Pac-10.
Pac-10 right? Included Arizona and ASU.
Okay. Oh, I'm wrong then. Okay.
So Pac-10.
It was something else. You know, growing up here in California, we all knew what the Rose Bowl meant.
Yeah.
You know, there was no doubt about it. You know, that was the reward for winning this Pac-12. And I grew up a USC fan as a kid. The day that Utah went to the Pac-12, I went through the house and grabbed everything maroon and gold I could find and just threw it away.
Excellent.
I was so excited. And it's been that way ever since. Let's put it that way.
Excellent.
But back then, you know, you got a chance to go play a Pac-10 school and just going to play Texas, just like going to play Tennessee, you know, the upper echelon. And, you know, here we come from the WAC. We just tried to hold our own and put up a good fight.
Yeah.
Where you beat Washington State.
Bryn's at it again, isn't she?
Bryn, what are you doing?
Bryn.
Blame it
all. Is Bryn even here?
I'm here. You guys are taking all the questions.
Hey, we're just riffing it. We're just riffing it here.
It's just Gary reliving the good old days over here. You know.
It was the good old days, but we lost a lot of games, too.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, I'm back.
All right.
I'm curious, Hank. Obviously, you mentioned what it was like to play the Pac-10 back in your days, right? And then what the reward was for the Rose Bowl. What's it like for you to see your alma mater now go, you know, back-to-back Rose Bowls? I mean, your days of 6-6 kind of football and the WAC to the Mountain West. I mean, that's got to be pretty dang cool for you.
It's a little bit more than pretty dang cool, you know.
You're pretty damn cool. Is that
good? Alma mater. And to see them come in and earn their yeah. way, because that's the way you got into the Rose Bowl. You had to earn it. So I knew what it meant. And it was a sense of much pride, you know, to see them and where they've come from and how hard they've worked. You know, they deserve it. They really do. All the guys, we had a good turnout the first year. We didn't see you there at that first one. But we had another great turnout and we had a blast. You know, it brings that brotherhood together. You know, when you play, you form lifelong friendships with your teammates, and those guys will always be my brothers, and it's always good to see them. And an event like that just brought them out of the woodwork, really.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, from my generation growing up, you know, you walk around the Rose Bowl stadium, both Rose Bowls, and you're seeing players, former players that you recognize from the last, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, all the way through players that played at the Sugar Bowl, you know, era, that they were at the Rose Bowl games. I mean, I think it means a lot because everybody through those generations kind of have a little bit to do with where Utah football is right now, which is, I think, pretty neat.
Yeah, it is.
When you come back to Salt Lake, four games, do you get to go see all of the facilities that now the football team has? And how does that make you feel compared to the locker rooms that you
the first tour I took, Sean Farrell, who works in the administration up there at the U, took me on a tour and he asked me the same question. So what are you feeling? I said, you know, this is really, really weird because all of my memories are of a certain place, certain walls. Mm-hmm. And that was home for all my thoughts. Whenever I thought of Utah football, it was at the stadium. in that old South End Zone building with the new lockers. And when I look around now, I thought, you know what? This is not home anymore. it's a 5-star hotel. But they deserve it. They've earned every bit of it. And, you know, wherever the Pac-10, 12 ends up, man, I'm very proud of where they came from. And I will continue to be very proud.
Where did you guys practice? I'm trying to remember.
What? We practiced on the field next to the Hyper Building and the Huntsman Center.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That's what I remember.
Right next to Vancott Hall, if you really want to go back. There was an elevated grass field, and that's where we practice on grass. And then when we had a turf game, we would take buses. We had an old red school bus that the GAs used to drive, and they drive us from that locker room in the Hyper to the stadium and back.
Yeah.
Every day.
A lot has changed. I remember those. Of course, I've been going to Utah games my whole life. So I was as a little kid, and the whole transformation of the stadium from when it had the dirt track in there, and there was nothing on the south side.
Yeah.
But I do remember the locker rooms were on the south side on both sides of the stadium, and they were like what they reminded me of was like it's just cinder block rooms or something in the old days.
You're exactly right. I wish I had an old picture.
Yeah,
of those, because that would be very, very valuable. It it reminded me of an old prison locker room.
Yeah,
I mean, can see that. That's the best way I could describe it when I saw it.
Yeah, it's cool. We appreciate you and
the good old days. The good old days.
It's just setting the stage, though, and the whole development. Because so there's Stobart, and then we got the Fossil. So you had a pretty good season your first year, but I think it tanked out on the next year, if I recall. I think we won.
There we go.
One game or something on Fossil's second year, but you were gone at that point. Then wasn't after Fossil, that's when we got Coach Mac. I think that's right.
Yes.
And then it just kind of, the progression kept going with Coach Mac, yes. And then Urban for the short period, and then Witt. And it's an amazing story, Utah football, and you're a big part of it, and your generation guys that played there. I mean, there was a lot of talent. When you go back and look at the players, it just wasn't as throughout the team. You averaged, 40 yards a punt, something like that? It seems like almost 40 yards a punt.
Yeah, something like that. You know, Gary, my claim to fame my senior year was before this record was kept. I had the most punts inside the 20 at 36. And that number is still intact to this day.
No kidding. No kidding.
Zero touchbacks.
That's big.
Yeah.
You know.
I know James doesn't believe me, but that's the truth.
I'm going to Google that.
I had zero touchbacks.
I'm going to look that up.
My punting coach, Sean McNabb, who also coached the tight ends at the time, he told me, kick it out of bounds. Let the refs decide where they wanted to put it. And don't let the bounce.
Google it, James.
I'm looking it up right now.
Oh, are you really? We're going to verify that.
I mean, I kind of believe him, but, you know, we don't just take everyone's word on this podcast. We're all about facts and data points here.
Yeah, well, that's the good old days.
It was good. Well, let's talk about all the great work you have done. And what you're going to do.
Yeah.
5 years ago, I became a part, if you don't mind, Bren.
Go ahead.
I became a part of a nonprofit called Football for Life. Football for Life wanted to help the poorest high school in the nation. And it just happened to be on a reservation in South Dakota called Pine Ridge Reservation. And we went there. We've been there for 4 years now. This will be our fifth year. And it was very eye-opening. You know, our intent was to get 10 coaches together and go help their coaches with whatever they needed help with, and they needed a lot. And their players, all 23 strong, needed some support as well. So we were able to go in there and make a little bit of a difference. Being on the reservation just opened my eyes to history, to the world, to the natives, to society, to civilization. And to see that they're still struggling really tugs at the heartstrings. So it was very rewarding for us to go back and give. And each year it got bigger and better. The stories that come out of there, you know, people ask me all the time, you know, what's it like? I said, well, they have nothing. And when I mean nothing, I don't mean material-wise, clothing or cars or things that we take for granted. But they don't have things like hope. They don't have things like faith. They don't have things like pride. We started throwing around the word pride the first day, and nobody knew what it meant. They have been living in poverty for so long that it's just become part of their culture. And to have 13, 14, 15 people living in a trailer home is common. And to be able to give back, like I said, it's tremendous. The town of Pine Ridge really has no infrastructure, which means there's no sidewalks, there's no trash cans, there's no service. There's, you know, there's native police who patrol the area, and they do have their a hospital. They do have a casino, but it was pretty bad, and it still is to this day. So we're trying to get the kids there to get an education, continue their education to college, junior college or whatever, because if they're going to make it, they got to get off that res. And unemployment rate's at 87%. The biggest thing that really hits home is suicide rate is 23% among teenagers. And we're not talking 18, 17, 16. We're talking 13, 14, 15. And they see it. I don't know if you can kind of visualize the world I've described, but they see that suicide as an easy way out, which I can't comprehend, and a lot of people can't either. And that's just the way it is there. And so we hope we're making a difference. You know, we've been keeping in contact with our athletes that we were there the first year, 5 years ago. I still keep in contact with them. We brought the captains out to California. Of course, we took them to Disneyland, the beach. And we also took them to the programs at Mater Dei High School. We took them to the programs at St. John Bosco High School and at another private school, St. Paul High School. So they were able to see a little bit on how California football is run. And I think that made quite an impression on them. But it's been tremendous.
I mean, you touched on this a little bit, Hank, but talk, like, what does sports do for kids? I mean, as somebody who played sports into college, but what does sports do for these kids?
It gives them a direction. It gives them a focus. It also teaches them the intangibles that all sport team sports teach, and the coaches are expected to teach, you know, the respect, the teamwork, the discipline, all those things that you learn while you're playing team sports are very, very important. And we take them for granted every day. And when you go to a school like Pine Ridge, and there's others along the reservation very similar, when they don't have those things, it's very refreshing and very rewarding. It's like coaching in the 70s or 80s. These kids are, you know, they're a white wall. They're just waiting, and they're eager, and they're thirsty to have some pride, to have a direction, to look forward to something, to keep their mind off, you know, the drugs and the suicide and all the other bad things that happen on res. You know, one funny thing, again, maybe hard to comprehend, but there's no gangs on the reservation because there's not enough money to sell drugs. So if you have no money to get, there's no gang, there's no claiming, there's no warfare, there's no gang warfare. Basketball is their big sport. You know, the res ball, if you guys have ever heard that, they love it. And football is secondary at those schools. So there are basketball players that transition into football, but there are some that do not. So multi-sport, you know, keep them busy throughout the whole year. That's the goal.
You've given us kind of a little history of how it started, but how the foundation now expanding and possibly bringing in this Utah football tie to it?
Well, when we started out, we had myself and two others from the U program, Jeff Reyes, who I'm sure Gary remembers. Jeff Reyes was an all-whack defensive end.
Yeah, I remember.
I believe he was an All-American honorable mention. His claim to fame was an NCAA record of 5 sacks in one game against Hawaii. And he's on our coaching staff, as well as Dave Cullity. Dave Cullity was a offensive tackle during my years. They're both my age. And he went on to play for the 49ers and the Cleveland Browns and went to the Super Bowl with the Niners and got a Super Bowl ring. And they've been on our staff. And we kind of got together and said, it was a thought about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and it's happening this June, June 28th and 29th. We're going to take a group of coaches up to the Uinta Ouray Reservation, Ute Nation, and we're going to be at Union High School. The athletic director, Jesse Fieldstead, I'm sorry, and the new head coach, Dustin Long, have invited us to come and use their facilities. Phenomenal facilities. If you guys have ever seen them or been out there,
they
have full aluminum bleachers. They have a full turf field with a rubber track. They have indoor football facilities. So we're going to bring our staff to the campus and have a 2-day football camp to teach technique, to teach whatever it is else they need help with. But to give a little incentive, I'm sorry, a little insight on what it's like to continue your career, if that's a choice you are looking to make, given by some former pro experienced athletes. This past week, we just announced the addition of Earl Tucker. He reached out and wanted to be a part of this thing and heard about the good things we were doing back in the mid-80s. And he was a DB as well, and we're happy to have him on board. He's gonna bring a tremendous amount of wealth on technique to these kids. Yeah. The second half of this camp is going to be geared towards the kids. We asked our representative there on the reservation, Cameron Kutch from the Kutch family. His dad is Forrest Kutch, who happens to be on the University of Utah President's Council. And I started with them and said, what do you guys need? And they said, well, we'd like to see the young kids get involved so they're not so intimidated to go out to athletics when the time comes at the high school. So the goal is to get some 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders out to run around, meet some of the high school kids, get some of the high school kids to take them under their wing, teach them leadership, bring them along. So it's a little easier transition than it has been for them to go out for athletics, and you never know what you're going to find. So that's what's going to be our goal. We invited the Little Utes Conference. Hopefully we'll get about 20, 30, as many kids as we can get out. And we're going to continue. The goal is to see those 5th and 6th graders as seniors to where they are participating in football or any other sport we happen to bring in the near 4, 5, 6 years. And to have them go through the program and talk about it and recruit and talk to the other high schoolers about what a good job and opportunity that we originally brought here in 2023.
It's an amazing thing that you're doing. I just feel like, obviously, with our tie as being youths and to the youth tribe and to the youth nation, I just think it's so fantastic what you're doing. And I want you to put a pitch out there for all of our Utah fans. If they want to help and get involved in this cause, what can they do?
Right. So our group is a charitable organization. All of our volunteers volunteer their time, all of them. And so we do take donations. We call them partners, team partners. And our website is athletes4.life. athletes4.life is our website address. We don't do the .com. And they can give there or inquire as to participating. We're going to be handing out some flyers there on the reservation to get some participation at the camp. I just found out that the head coach at Union recruited 60 to 70 of his players to join us. We're used to 30 or 40 kids, and this is going to be awesome. Tremendous. Last year, we were able to secure 50 tickets for the community to come out and see the U Proud game against San Diego State. And so they got a bus and came on out to see the game. We're going to hopefully do that again and make it fun with some couple of giveaways or raffles and get the community involved. You know, every time I talk to somebody from the U about this program, they say, I'm glad you're doing it just like you did. I wish we could do more. So who knows what else we can bring. But thank you for asking.
Of course. And
go ahead, Bryn.
In the description in here in the video so that people have it.
Great. Great.
Is the university or more specifically the football team going to be involved at all or have any interest? Or?
Well, when I reached out to Kyle Whittingham, boy, he sure was ecstatic about what we were doing. Yeah. He was proud of the ex-players. He was proud of the whole program. And the timing is too close to their youth camps. So we're going to have a different schedule next year to try and accommodate some players through NIL, which we still might. So stay tuned for that. So we're looking to get Luther Ellis involved. Luther, as you know, is from that area. And when he signed with the Detroit Tigers out of Utah, he had camps there. So he is all over it, wanting to give back as well. So we'll get this first camp under our belt and everybody can see what it's about. And we did have their blessing. There was a couple situations that took place that were unfortunate that didn't allow us to pursue some of those channels. But they're still open. They still have an eye on us and we're proud to make them proud. And I said, let's get this first one under our belt and see what happens.
Well, I can't wait to hear about how it goes. And I feel like you're just going to keep growing. This is so amazing. And I hope anything that we can do to help, anything Utah fans can do to help, we're definitely going to push it out there. So.
Well, I think you just did. You know, having this platform to talk about it is all we can ask for. We do have someone on our committee from KSL, Michelle Bodkin, who has graciously given her time to come on out and join us.
Oh, good.
We're going to have the camera crew come out. So during those 2 days, be looking on KSL Channel 2 for an update. I wanted to also throw out part of our camp that I almost missed was mental health skills.
Oh, good.
Are very important in today's athletics. We've recruited Lisa Mitzel. Gary, you might remember the name, the All-American gymnast from Utah.
Okay.
She is a mental health guru. She has a new company called Zen Tiger Mind. And she's going to come out and talk to the coaches and athletes at Union for about a half hour, 40 minutes. And then she's going to talk to the community, parents, and whoever else wants to listen for another 30, 40 minutes. We're very proud to have her on board. And a lot of people that I've talked to about this program are ecstatic about this type of offering that we're going to have available to everybody.
Do you have other social media other than the website? Is there a Facebook?
We do. We have Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Perfect.
We're on Twitter. And I'll send the addresses to Bryn and have her post them.
We'll put them up.
That's great, guys. We appreciate you doing this for us. I don't know how much time we're going to have, but I'm going to be there all week, so I don't know if we can get together before or after, just to say thank you. You know, we're looking to get a little swag, so we might have a keychain or maybe some shoe threads to hang out.
That'd be great.
Anyway, you know what? Thank you, guys. It was great meeting you at the Rose Bowl. Something told me that wasn't going to be the end of it. I don't know what it was, but meeting with Bryn few weeks ago solidified that, and I've offered my time and help. She sent me along some content that I'd love to help you guys with, and it could be a big win-win situation. So thanks again, appreciate it.
We appreciate, and thanks for all the good that you're doing. It's fantastic.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Hank.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.